WFXX. Once again,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
And we will be back with hour two. That was a great opening hour. Wait a second. Oh, it's daylight saving time. We got to do the whole hour over again. It is a manic Monday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Oh, my goodness. Skeezy, we just did. Now we got to do 3 hours. Nobody heard that first hour.
All right, I'm going back on vacation. I'm out of here.
Oh,
see you, folks.
I forgot to
see you next week.
The clock back. Oh, I thought it was 9 o'clock. It's only 8 o'clock.
Sorry.
Good morning. Welcome back, Mr. Geezy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful morning.
It is indeed. Thank you, dear Steelers defense.
Oh,
we will recap.
Woo.
The big weekend in sports. Good and the bad. In the second segment, as we are wont to do on this very program, I've had several folks reaching out, asking about the John Ziegler interview on Friday. And, Mr. Geezy is our tech expert. He does all of the posting.
Oh, Lord.
And so, it will be posted later today.
It'll be posted by 11 a.m. this morning. How about that?
Wow. Well.
Because I usually do that right after the show's over.
Going above and beyond. All right.
No, that's what I always do.
Except well, you got five programs.
Except last
You don't always have five programs.
It won't take that long.
Post. All right.
We'll take that.
So that'll be posted later this morning. And.
So what? Now, Friday, I was too busy having fun. What? You got into trouble or something?
I want to hear about your fun. No, actually, I actually had two separate phone calls from people that are well acquainted with the case, saying that they thought it was a good interview in that it summarized one of the problems that I think folks are having, and I completely get it. Again, we are. Living our lives, we've got busy schedules. I understand that not everybody can spend the hours upon hours. John Ziegler's work on this has been beyond remarkable. But the interviews tend to be lengthy. Even this latest one with Ryan Rittmeyer's, I guess, soon-to-be ex-wife. I mean, that interview is, I don't know, an hour and a half or so. And I get it. People are like, I don't have that kind of time. And if it's not your life and you're not directly impacted, I get it. If you do have the time, I think it's well worth the listen. I think it is an eye-opening interview for those that don't already know the truth. And for those that, that do, I still think there's some... excellent content there that backs up the reasons that Jerry Sandusky is, in fact, innocent. But I think that, what I was told with a couple of people is it was a good summary. In an hour, we basically, less than an hour, we summarized the key elements, although there are many more, as to why it is that Jerry Sandusky is in fact innocent. And, you know, John Ziegler keeps saying, and he's right, that it's not even close, but I think until you kind of are able to get your hands around all of the different elements of it and look at it, and then it's like each one, again, maybe in and of itself doesn't outright prove his innocence. And it's like, boy, that makes it pretty likely. And then you go over to this segment and, yeah, that would seem pretty likely that he's innocent. And then, well, you get seven or eight things like that. It's like, you know, there's really no other conclusion that can be made here, come to think of it. And you'd be right. everything about the case, as John Ziegler has also said, is upside down. It is exactly backwards from what you would expect in a case. So if you missed the interview on Friday, again, it'll be posted later today, and I think it's worth the listen.
All right.
Also, I need to address the rumors.
oh boy.
We have not reached an agreement. Let me put it that way.
Hmm.
Pat Kraft and I have not yet reached an agreement for me to be the next head football coach of the Nittany Lions.
I thought it was about wrestling.
It is not a done deal.
Okay. That's good.
I'll have my people continue to reach out to his.
You have people?
Okay. Oh, I got people, baby.
Oh, boy. Okay.
We got people.
Boy, what I miss when I'm gone for a week. Holy mackerel. Anyway, friends, we have an open line program today. We have good guests this week, but today you could be the guest. How about that?
Do it.
Yeah. 814-954-7266. And I assume our friend Joe is going to join us later.
I assume that as
next hour, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us later next hour, as he does on most Mondays. The weather looks pretty calm. Beautiful November morning. Yes, did you turn those clocks back? Got home from vacation last night, actually. And, yeah, that's one of the first things I did. It's like, oops, okay, wrong. All the ones that are not, what, digital automatic clocks.
You know? I will say it is nice to have as many things as we do these days that just automatically do it. There's a few in our house. I think there's three total. But, yeah, a lot of, you know, car. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Phone. No. Okay, cool. Computer. It is nice to not have to change, you know, 20 different settings. Most of them.
Now, like, if we didn't have to change the clocks at all,
yeah, that would be ideal. Let's get on that.
All right, here we go.
Promises made, promises kept. Let's get that one done, Mr. Trump. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff. This is going to come as a shock to you, but you inadvertently made a brilliant statement there about 3 minutes ago.
That's usually the way I make my brilliant statements.
I am certain that it was an accident.
Yes.
But what you said absolutely said it all. Jerry Sandusky is proven innocent. He doesn't have to prove his innocence. You got to prove he's guilty, and like you said, and I've been saying, I've known him a long, long, long time and worked with him through golf tournaments and just second mile, and I understand these things can be hidden and so on and so forth, but all along I've been kind of keeping somewhat quiet, but I thought this all was bogus right from the start.
Yeah, many amazing things about the case, but one of them is that pretty much everybody that was close to Jerry Sandusky is close to Jerry Sandusky. Well, you go through the long list of pedophiles convicted in this country, and you tell me the other pedophile where people are like, oh, yeah, no, wife stays with them. Absolutely. Wife wants to stay with that dude. Close friends, yep. Nah, we're all still supportive. Like, it doesn't happen. Anyways.
Yeah, I've heard snippets of over a number of years now about what was going on. But, and I think your man there that's done all this research is obviously spent thousands of hours and looking at it from every angle and so on. And I said from the start, I understand this is kind of a, pardon the pun, touchy-feely thing when it comes down to it, because how you put a guy in jail all these years and throw the book at him on essentially he said, she said, no witness type stuff, that's a pretty serious accusation to not be totally proven. And I think that's where everything got upside down.
Yes. And again, you just go back to the way that trial occurred, the rush, the absolute refusal to allow the defense to have any time to vet the alleged victims, to prepare any kind of a case. I mean, you just start there. And again, even if you haven't had your eyes open to the degree to which this was a wrongful conviction, you cannot, again, possibly look at all of the evidence that has now come out and say that Jerry Sandusky got a fair trial and doesn't deserve another trial. That it's just not, it is not possible to look at the evidence and draw any other conclusion than at the very least he deserves a new trial.
Hang in there, Jeff. We're approaching 10 days, buddy.
Cannot get here soon enough.
What's in 10 days? Yeah, and,
that would be and the start of the rest.
Oh.
And that also means, it, still, I want to reiterate, that chair, padded, nicely padded chair next to you at the broadcast booth there, is still open for me. Is that correct?
You know, you would not believe the number of folks I have offering to help out on the broadcast. Very generous group of individuals that follow Penn State wrestling.
I thought it was a folding chair.
It is a folding chair.
Well, he said nicely padded
chair.
Well,
the one up at the Jordan Center is, it is padded. That one is a nice one.
Well, it's going to have to be because of my structure, if you know what I'm saying.
I do indeed.
Okay. Hey, you guys have a great week.
Thank you. You
all
as
right.
Well.
Thanks for your call. And we're not going to ask him about his structure, right?
I'm running on Monday.
That's a little personal, all right? 814-954-7266. We're going to tackle some tough subjects today. We're going to have some fun. All right. We do have some good guests coming up this week. By the way, you're wearing that shirt one day too early.
Oh, yes.
You know that?
Right. I do indeed.
He's wearing a Center Film Festival shirt.
That's right.
Which is coming up here in a few days. Our friend Pearl Gluck from Penn State, who essentially runs the festival. Pearl's terrific. She's going to join us tomorrow. We're going to get a preview. This is an amazing, it really is an amazing event, the Center Film Festival. If you've never done it, never tried it, this is the year, and Pearl will fill us in tomorrow. So she gave me a shirt, too, so I'm going to have to go dig out my shirt and
there you go.
Find it someplace.
Let's do it.
And so on, all right? So hopefully you survived the clock change, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, there is more and more debate that why are we doing this clock change stuff? It's going to take an act of Congress to get rid of it. Yeah, they can't even open the government right now. Okay. So personally, I'm now totally sold. I wasn't before, but I'm totally sold now. Just let's go back to standard time all the time. Enough with the clock changes. I'm not in favor of the daylight savings time all the time. So in other words, an hour later, I'm for what we've got right now, standard. When I took my guy Domino out this morning to do his biz, it was nice to have some light in the sky. All right? Yes. And for kids getting on buses, school buses and so on, it's nice to have some light in the sky at this time of the year. With daylight savings time, we'd still be in the dark. Remember last week? All right. We were in the dark. So I'm all for standard time all the time. What it's going to take to get there, I'm not sure. We'll have to see. My family and I had a great time last week. We just we had a chance to get away, and we decided to go for it. We went to Orlando, all right, because I've got two little ones, 6 and 4, my grandkids, and we thought, yes. And they had a fantastic time. They had a wonderful time. Checked out Disney, of course. Checked out Universal. Now, if you're into this stuff, you know, Orlando's is a pretty amazing place. I mean, there's a lot of things to do down there. The Disney parks, the Universal parks, SeaWorld is a pretty cool place. There's a bunch of other parks. Cape Canaveral, if you're into rockets and space and stuff like that, is not that far away. No, we didn't do any of that. We pretty much did Disney, and we did one day of Universal.
Let the record clearly show.
There's too many things to do, which is great. I mean, you know, if you like golf, oh, my gosh, golf courses like all over the place down there. And swimming and all that sort of thing, that's a great place to go. Although it's interesting, late in the week, last week, the temperature, like the early morning temperature down there, got to about 55. And yes, it's hilarious watching some of these Florida people wearing parkas when it's 55 degrees. And I'm thinking, man, I went outside and like, oh, this feels really good. All right. Cause the humidity was low. Weather was really great. It rained the first day, which considering Hurricane Melissa last week, I'm glad we didn't go to Jamaica. Nasty stuff. Pretty much that totally avoided Florida. I'm like, ooh, thank you very much. It did rain the first day. So the first day we stayed where we were staying. We didn't go anywhere the first day because there were some pretty heavy rains in the afternoon. But then the rest of the week was just like el perfecto. I mean, it was great. Universal has a new park, which is called Epic Universe. Pretty cool place. It's actually kind of four small parks in one. If you're into this sort of stuff, I'll be your travel guide here.
All right.
All right. One of the mini parks is called Dark Universe, full of monsters and dark stuff. Ooh, horror. Well, not that horror, but dark. Let's see. One was Mario World. Oh, the little ones loved Mario World.
I would say.
Mario Kart and, you know, and all those things if you're into Mario and video games. Now, it's interesting. Are we a little too dependent on technology? Yeah, sometimes we probably are. So we got in line for this one ride, which was essentially a video game ride. I mean, it was once they got it up and running, it was pretty cool. You put on these not virtual reality goggles, but augmented reality goggles. So if you're familiar with that, it's like wearing a pair of glasses, okay? Except these things kind of pop up in your view while you're wearing the glasses. Well, in this case, it was more of a goggle than glasses. But it was pretty neat. And if you're into Mario, which I'm not, because I'm asking my son-in-law who was there, okay, what do I do here? Am I supposed to shoot things? What am I supposed to do? And they're trying to figure out, well, you want to get these. Well, you don't want to get those. Well, you want to get the coins. Well, you want to get this. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Okay, whatever. So we go through the ride. The problem is,
it's a complicated world.
It is a pretty complicated world. Mario World. Holy mackerel. It's like, don't shoot Mario. I'm like, okay, I'll try not to shoot Mario. Hit the bad guy, okay? Who's the bad guy? You know, that sort of stuff. We're getting to the front of the line when all of a sudden the electronics essentially went down. And so lots of people, of course, standing in the line. And, yeah, at first, like, okay, we'll just wait. No, 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 no. We were sitting there for like a half an hour, motionless, waiting for them to fix the electronics. And I just looked at everybody. I'm like, you know, good old school. Like roller coasters just kind of roll. You really need this extra stuff? I don't care. Now, once they finally got it back up and running, everybody cheered, yay, in line. And it was an interesting ride, right? Augmented reality theme park ride. Crazy stuff. Let's see, How to Train Your Dragon, if you're familiar with that movie, all right, which is all about Vikings. So we went to Viking World. All right, all the flying dragons and all this. And that was pretty cool. And then, of course, you got to have Harry Potter. All right, so they have another Harry Potter Land feature in this park. And it's one of these where you get in, there's a ride, and you get in a big car with a bunch of other people, and then it bumps around, and you're trying to avoid the bad wizards, and you're dipping down, and there's Harry and his friends, and they're trying to save you, and it was pretty cool. All right, that was pretty neat. Me, I'm kind of a Disney guy. I like the Disney parks. Are they too expensive? Absolutely, but hey, we splurged a little bit, all right? On the 30th, they had a special Disney Halloween party at night. So, in other words, you had the ticket, and if you had the ticket, you could get in for the Halloween party. Now, not everybody did this, but a lot of folks dressed up, you know, Halloween. And so all of our family members, we all dressed up as something. I dressed up as a mad scientist. Everybody loved my costume.
I could see you as a mad scientist.
Now, this was at Magic Kingdom, all right, the one with the castle. And, you know, I'm walking around. I'm seeing a lot of people dressed up as Disney characters, all right, some Star Wars characters, because that's part of Disney now, some other, you know, Disney-related characters, little kids' characters, you know, like you see on little kids' television and so on. I said to my family, I said, you seen anybody around? Witches, people dressed up as witches, you know, ghosts and stuff like that. I said, you see anybody else dressed up as a mad scientist? Nope. I think I was the only mad scientist in the whole park with my wild hair and so on. Like, this is great. Now, we got to go trick-or-treating. All right. And again, Disney. Now, it's not Disney. It's their sponsors. Mars Candy. Some other candy companies and so on. And so what you had to do is you had a map and you had to go to certain spots where you could trick or treat. And they gave us all a bag, like a gift bag or a candy bag, not a very big bag, kind of smallish. But the idea is you go to the spot and they give you some candy. So I thought, all right, that sounds like fun. So I thought, all right, they'll give us, like, if you had trick-or-treating at your house last week or so on, you know, you give a kid, you know, a bag of candy, you know, like a little thing of M&Ms or a candy, little candy bars and so on. I figured that's what Disney was going to do. They're going to give us, like, a candy bar. And, well, we go up to the first one, and I as soon as I got close to it, here's a person with a, it wasn't a shovel, it was a big scoop. Like you see maybe at some stores, and she digs her way into this giant vat of candy with her scoop and dumps it in my bag. And I'm like, I get all of that? Oh, yes, sir. Have a good time. Happy Halloween, you know? And so we went to the park was covered with these places. And in every one, there's somebody with a big scoop. Scoop it, and they put it in your bag. Luckily, I had a backpack with me, because after a few stops, I had to open up my backpack to empty out my treat bag. So now I have an empty treat bag, and so I could keep going and get some more. And we all did that. I mean, it was amazing. When we were done for the night, my daughter and her husband and my two grandkids, they had, all right, if you're familiar with a Ziploc gallon bag, you know, like a storage bag, they filled up four of those with all of the candy that they got from their haul. Holy my, and I found a way to bring mine home. It's going to take me a month to eat all of this candy. Yikes. But hey, we had an absolute blast. We had a really great time.
Well, good. That's
so
supposed to be what happens.
There was a point where I'm thinking, do I really have to go back? And then I looked at the bill. I'm like, yeah, we have to go back. Yeah, I think we need to go back. But otherwise, you know, we'll get into this maybe later on because we got to take a break now. But, you know, if you're hearing all the stories about airline delays and so on. Now, we flew out of Orlando International, which is a major, major, major airport. It was very busy over the weekend. The only delays that I noticed were not arrivals. The arrivals actually were coming in, if anything, they were coming in a shade early rather than on time. They were a little early. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. The only delays I saw on the big board, if you've been to an airport, there's the big board, right, with departures and arrivals and so on. The only ones I saw were flights going to Newark. Now, again, Newark Airport is, oh boy, a headache. Seemingly all the flights going into Newark were delayed, all of them. So Newark Airport had actual problems. I don't know, a lot of other places, like, everything seems to be great. We flew out of Allentown, love the Allentown Airport. We'll use it again. We got a nonstop, great rate, decent rate, I'll say. And it was the first time I've ever been in that airport. It's very nice. Got about 12 or 14 different gates. Place is very clean. They had football games on. There we go.
Yeah.
At the bar.
Now we're talking.
Right in the middle of everything. So we had a good time. Everything went flawlessly, which scared the heck out of me, but it did. All right. Let's take our break. Now, speaking of sports, yeah, we've got a few things, some good, some, yeah, not so good, which we'll certainly talk about, and you can as well when we give you the opportunity, so get ready, okay? You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox on a beautiful November morning. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel. But a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, 8:28. Feels like 9:28 for some reason to me. I don't know what's going on.
8:28.
Losing streak now at five games for the Penn State football team. Nittany Lions able to hang tough in the first half of Saturday's 38-14 loss at top-ranked Ohio State, but the Buckeyes, who led 17-14 at the break, scored all 21 of the second half points to improve to 8-0 on the season. Nicholas Singleton got Penn State on the board with a 3-yard touchdown run. Catron Allen had a 1-yard touchdown run after C.J. Donaldson's fumble was recovered by Chaz Coleman. Ohio State, though, taking complete control in the second half and cruising to the 38-14 victory. Passing game was cooking for the Buckeyes. They have two incredible receivers, a couple of other very good ones, and a good tight end to boot. But Julian Sain is having himself a season. The redshirt freshman quarterback completed 20 of 23 passes for 316 yards and 4 touchdowns. Jeremiah Smith caught 6 passes for 123 yards. Do believe he's the best football player in the country. He had, again, a couple of scores. Carnell Tate had 5 receptions for 124 yards and another touchdown. The Nittany Lions had just 200 yards in total offense. That compared to 480 for the Buckeyes. Penn State now 3-5 in the season. Penn State will host second-ranked Indiana. The Hoosiers are undefeated on the season. That game is now set for a noon kickoff at Beaver Stadium on Saturday, 12 noon kickoff. This will be Penn State's first game at Beaver Stadium, of course, since James Franklin's firing. The Hoosiers, by the way, 13.5-point favorites. And if you've been watching Indiana and you saw that Penn State-Ohio State game, as crazy as it may be to say when you look at the historical perspective, I don't understand how Indiana is only favored by less than 2 touchdowns. This is a team that puts up points in the snap of a finger, and Penn State has been struggling defensively. Again, noon kickoff Saturday. Penn State will try again to shock the world against the second-ranked Hoosiers and hope to snap what is now a 5-game losing streak. Elsewhere in the Big Ten Saturday, the second-ranked Hoosiers improving to 9-0 with a 55-10 romp at Maryland. USC rallied to beat Nebraska in Lincoln 21-17. Illinois coasted to a 35-13 victory over Rutgers, and it was Minnesota getting past Michigan State in overtime, 23-20. Michigan held off Purdue 21-16. Also, over the weekend, we had some other games of note in college football. Texas keeping its playoff hopes alive with a 34-31 win over Vanderbilt. Oklahoma also keeping its playoff hopes alive with a 33-27 victory over Tennessee. North Carolina State upset Georgia Tech and knocked the Yellow Jackets from the ranks of the unbeaten, 48-36. Georgia got by Florida 24-20. Ole Miss down South Carolina 30-14. That cost Mike Shula, the Gamecocks offensive coordinator, his job. SMU surprised Miami in overtime 26-20. It was Notre Dame beating Boston College 25-10. Texas Tech overcame a slow start and rolled over Kansas State 43-20. West Virginia stunned Houston 45-35. Utah hammered Cincinnati 45-14. Louisville down to Virginia Tech 28-16. It was Virginia over California 31-21. And North Texas knocked off Navy 31-17. Also, Arizona crushed Colorado 52-17. The final there. Also, over the weekend, Auburn announcing that it is parting ways with head coach Hugh Freeze. Tigers 1-5 in SEC play this season. Freeze was 15-19 in his nearly three seasons with the Auburn program. And so the Tigers are again in the coaching search. And defensive coordinator DJ Durkin will serve as the interim coach for the remainder of this season. This will be the third time since 2020 that Auburn is searching for a new coach. That is a couple of buyouts and now a new sizable contract. And just worried, Penn State may be heading down a very similar path here in a few years. Hoping against hope that that is not the case. Ohio State remains number one in both the AP and the coaches' polls, with Indiana second, Texas A&M third, Alabama fourth, and Georgia fifth. Oregon is sixth in both polls. In the AP poll from the Big Ten, there's also USC at 20 and Michigan at 21, along with Washington checking in at number 24. In the coaches' poll, Michigan and USC are swapped. It's Michigan 20th, USC 21st, and Iowa is 24th, with Washington just outside of the top 25. The Penn State men's hockey team completing a sweep of Ohio State in Columbus Friday night. The Nittany Lions converted on three power play opportunities to earn the 4-3 victory. Jackson Smith, Matt DeMarsico, and J.J. Wiebusch, along with Dane Dowiak, scored the Nittany Lions goals as Penn State did exactly what it was hoping to do in opening up Big Ten play with a couple of road victories. Josh Fleming in Friday's game with 29 saves. He improves to 4-0 on the season. Through 10 games this season, J.J. Wiebusch and Charlie Serrato now tied for the national lead in points with 18 apiece. Gavin McKenna had a pair of assists Friday night. He now has points in his last four games. The fourth-ranked Nittany Lions are riding a seven-game win streak into the showdown at top-ranked Michigan State this weekend. Oh, it's going to be
one.
Fun.
Big one.
Nittany Lions and Spartans will meet Friday night at 7 and then Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock at Munn Ice Arena. The Penn State women's soccer team gave up a couple of second-half goals and lost to 20th-ranked UCLA in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament Saturday night at Purdue. Caitlin McBean scored a first-half goal to give the Nittany Lions the lead at halftime. Mackenzie Gress made eight saves in goal for Penn State. But again, the Bruins score the two second-half goals and get the victory. Penn State will now learn if it gets an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament a week from today with the selection show on November 10th. Penn State is 9-7-3 on the season, 5-4-2 in Big Ten games. The Penn State basketball teams ready to open their seasons tonight. The men will open up against Fairfield. That'll be a 7 o'clock tip at the Bryce Jordan Center. Mike Rhodes starting his third season as the Nittany Lions head coach. He has a young team with an international flair to it. The team will be led by highly touted freshman Caden Mingo. The Lady Lions will begin their season tonight against Bucknell. That'll be a 5 o'clock tip-off at Rec Hall. That game will be the first of seven home games at Rec Hall for the Lady Lions this season. Penn State will be led by center Gracie Merkel, who led Penn State in both scoring and rebounding a year ago. This will be the seventh season at Penn State for head coach Carolyn Keeger. The Penn State women's hockey team is now 12-0 on the season. A couple of 4-0 shutout victories at Robert Morris over the weekend. In Saturday's 4-0 win, Maddie Christian scored two of the goals and added an assist. Sophie Morrow and Nicole Hall added the other scores. On Friday night, Penn State again also prevailing 4-0, getting goals from Grace Outwater, Caitlin Roberts, Micah Keller, and Tessa Janicki. Katie Deesa with 31 saves on the weekend, and now with 5 shutouts already this season. The Nittany Lions will have an off weekend before hosting Syracuse on November 14th and 15th. Tough weekend for the Penn State women's volleyball team. The Nittany Lions losing a pair of matches. Yesterday, Penn State swept at home by Indiana 25-22, 25-15, and 25-23. The Nittany Lions committing 12 service errors in the loss. Kennedy Martin had 14 kills to lead Penn State. On Friday night, Penn State lost a 5-set match at Michigan. The Wolverines taking the decisive 5th set, 15-12. Kennedy Martin again led the Nittany Lions with 27 kills, 11 digs, 7 blocks, and 4 aces in that one. Penn State now 13-9 on the season, 7-5 in Big Ten matches. Penn State men's soccer team losing at Ohio State on Halloween night, 1-0. The Nittany Lions managed just 2 shots on net and fall to 5-8-3 on the year, 1-6-2 in the Big Ten. Penn State will wrap up the campaign Friday night in a 7 o'clock kickoff against Michigan at Jeffrey Field. The Penn State field hockey team lost its season finale to Rutgers Friday 4-2. Ella Jens and Natalie Freeman scored the Penn State goals. The Nittany Lions wrap up the campaign with a record of 7-10, 2-6 in Big Ten games. The Belfont football team rolling to a 34-0 victory over Greater Johnstown Friday night in the District 6 Quad A semifinals. Red Raiders quarterback Alton Howell threw for 180 yards and 3 touchdowns. Belfont will now face top-seeded Juniata in the championship game. In the District 6 AA quarterfinals, Baldwin Galeria lost to top-seeded and undefeated Bishop McCourt 39-6. The Eagles finished their season with a record of 5-6. Also Friday night in the District 6 AAA semifinals, it was Huntington over Tyrone 42-7, and Penn Cambria routed Forest Hills 41-7. State College had the weekend off. The Little Lions will play at McDowell this coming weekend in the PIAA 6A sub-regional. The State College boys soccer team losing to McDowell in the PIAA sub-regionals on Saturday, 3-0. Little Lions finished their season with a record of 11-8-2. The State College girls volleyball team will host Pine Richland in the first round of the PIAA Quad A state playoffs tomorrow night. That match will get underway at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening at the State High North Gym. State College, the District 6 champions, 14-1 on the season. Pine Richland is 14-6 on the year and will come in as the District 7 runner-up. The winner of tomorrow's match will advance to the state quarterfinals on Saturday. The Bald Eagle area girls volleyball team will open up play in the PIAA AA state playoffs tomorrow night as well. Lady Eagles, as District 6 champions, will host District 7 runner-up Hopewell. That'll be a 6 o'clock match at Wingate tomorrow night. The winner there also advances to the state quarterfinals on Saturday. Also representing District 6 will be Hollidaysburg in the AAA tournament. They'll be home against Oakland Catholic at 6 tomorrow night, and West Branch in the single-A tournament also opens up at home tomorrow night. At the PIAA State Cross Country Championships on Saturday, the State College boys finished second in the AAA race. State runners-up, the Little Lions, 8 points behind AAA champion North Penn and 8 points ahead of third-place LaSalle College. Theo Opperman paced State College with a third-place finish. Teammate Luke Bradbury was fourth. Dexter Walker finished 26th, Kyle Fritsch finished 43rd, and Owen Viglione was 47th. Belfont sophomore Jonathan Gasper took 14th in the boys' AA race. And also in the single A championship, St. Joseph's Sean DiPlato was 121st in the field. The State College girls took third place at the state championships behind champion Norwin and runner-up Downingtown West. State College led by five runners in the top 50. Evelyn Yonkin taking 8th place, Carolyn Frank, 34th, Autumn Swisher, 38th, Sylvia Hutchinson, 42nd, and Julia Bigger, 44th. Also in the AA girls race, Belfont senior Addison Fry was the top-placing Center County athlete, taking 48th. At the Big Ten cross-country championships on Friday in East Lansing, Michigan, the Penn State women finished as the runner-up to Oregon. Penn State was led by Florence Karen, who finished 4th to earn first-team all Big Ten accolades for a second straight season. Charlotte Kostisch placed 8th for Penn State, also earning first-team all-conference honors. Penn State's Ada Rand was 12th and earned second-team all-Big Ten recognition. The Penn State men finished in 8th place and were led by Nick Sloff's 23rd place finish individually. The Penn State squads will compete at the NCAA Mid-Atlantic Regional Championships in Bethlehem on November 14th. The beloved Pittsburgh Steelers got a big win yesterday. If you turn it off after the first quarter, you're like, yeah, the Steelers' defense, they stink. The offense can't even take advantage of a first and goal. It would have been understandable. I don't want to see this is going to get ugly. But it didn't. It got beautiful. 6 Colts turnovers helping the Steelers' cause. Pittsburgh wins it 27-20 to improve to 5-3 on the season. And the Steelers maintain a 2-game lead over the Ravens in the AFC North. Steelers linebacker Peyton Wilson, he had a pretty good game. 14 tackles, 2 passes defended, the one he deflected into Jack Sawyer's arms for interception, and he had a pick of his own. That's what we call a good day at the office. The Colts, again, turned the ball over 6 times. Pittsburgh getting a couple of rushing touchdowns from Jalen Warren and a TD pass from Aaron Roberts to one Pat Freiermuth. Along with a couple of Chris Boswell field goals for good measure, the Steelers will be at the Los Angeles Chargers for a prime time matchup on Sunday night. We'll have that game for you right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, by the way. Eagles had a bye week. Philadelphia topped the NFC East with a record of 6-2. The Eagles will play at Green Bay a week from tonight, and we'll have that game for you here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Pittsburgh Penguins losing 5-2 at Winnipeg Saturday night. The Jets jumped out to a 2-0 lead less than 3 minutes in, and really never looked back. Pittsburgh's goals scored by Blake Lizotte and some fellow by the name of Sidney Crosby. Penguins will visit the Maple Leafs tonight. And the Penguins and Devils are atop the Metropolitan Division with 18 points apiece so far this season. Flyers are coming off a 5-2 loss to the Maple Leafs on Saturday night. Christian Dvorak and Tyson Forrester scored the Philadelphia goals. The Flyers will host the Calgary Flames tonight at 7 o'clock. 76ers improving to 5-1 in the season with a 129-105 win over the Brooklyn Nets last night. The Nets remain winless through 6 games. Kyle Uber had 29 points to lead the Sixers. Philadelphia will visit the Bulls tomorrow night. One of the greatest World Series ever concluded with another great game in Game 7 Saturday night. Unfortunately, dang it, the Los Angeles Dodgers came back to win it in 11 innings, 5-4. Yoshi Yamamoto became the first pitcher ever to win three road games in a World Series. He came in to get the win, pitching the final three innings of the Game 7 after he got the win in Game 6. Will Smith hit the winning home run in the 11th inning after the Dodgers tied it on a Miguel Rojas, of all people, home run in the top of the ninth. The Blue Jays had taken an early lead on a three-run homer from Bo Bichette. In the third inning, that series truly a fall classic. And that is a little something we like to call sports. We are back with much more. Open phone time. I'm going to share one thing I saw at the Penn State-Ohio State game. Regardless of anything else, really cool moment. And cool for a number of reasons. And you ought to take a lot of pride if you're a Penn State fan of at least one particular player for what he did on Saturday. And it wasn't scoring a game, winning, or even a touchdown or making a tackle or a catch. It was nothing he did on the field. I'll touch on that when we come back. You're listening to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
Mm-mm, so good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Let's talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Open phone time here at 814-954-7266. Coming off the busy little weekend on the sports front for sure. We had the Halloween trick-or-treating. We went over to friend's house and did their neighborhood. So the numbers seem to be down this year overall, at least in our areas. Now, we left a bowl out at our house, a large bowl with a ton of candy in it with instructions to take two pieces. It was all gone, which is fine. I have my suspicions that perhaps not everybody took just the two pieces. I'm okay with it as long as all of the youngsters that wanted the two pieces got them. No way for us to know that, but I'm hoping that was the case. But I've read some other folks in the neighborhood, and they're like, man, numbers seem to be up this year. So, your mileage obviously may vary. But hopefully everybody had a good time. We had a great time. We did the one cul-de-sac in the neighborhood we were visiting. They go all out. And, I mean, they had the full-size candy bars. They had tables set up with, I don't know, it must have been five or six houses. And they had tables set up. They were having a party. And they're like adults. While the kids are making the rounds here at the table, would you like to come back and perhaps have a beverage? It's like, well, everybody else in our group is kind of looking like, oh, maybe. I'm like, yes! Yes, please! I will take a margarita to go. And
that sounds familiar.
So we had a very lovely evening with the trick-or-treating. Little chilly, little windy, but got through just fine with the help of our friend Margarita.
Which night was this?
This would be Friday night.
Friday night.
Oh, yes.
The actual Halloween.
That is correct.
Because I think, am I right now? Again, I was away last week. Most areas in our neighborhood, trick-or-treat night was Thursday.
No, I think I
was it Friday?
Everybody I'm aware of was I think everybody.
Some places, I think, had it on Thursday. I'm not sure why, but they did.
Yeah, I don't think, I think everybody in our neck of the woods, it was Friday, 6 days.
Now, one of my daughters and her husband lives near Allentown, and she's a school teacher. And so Friday night was a little chilly, I guess, yeah. And she's out in her driveway, or
very windy.
They're out in the driveway because they wanted to greet trick-or-treaters. They didn't just, in other words, they didn't just put a bowl out. They had a table, and they had lots of treats. And they have a two-car garage with one big garage door, all right? Two-car garage, but a big garage door. And my very smart son-in-law got a small projector. And they projected the Nightmare Before Christmas on their garage door. So as people are coming, the trick-or-treaters are coming up to get, trick-or-treat, get a candy bar or something. Here they're playing a movie on the garage door, which apparently, now they're relatively new to the area, where it's a really nice residential area. And apparently, parents doing what parents should do, okay, they're escorting their children, make sure everything is safe and so on. Although, let's see, now again, I'm on vacation, so our daughter is sending us pictures. She did use the word ripped to describe some of the adults.
Hey, now.
So when you were telling your story a minute ago, I'm thinking, yeah, this sounds familiar.
Well, we had a Dixie cup of margarita. I don't think we were quite ripped.
But it was tasty. She used the term ripped.
Yeah. Thinking,
okay. That's quite a neighborhood you live in. How about that? Yeah, we may turn this into like outdoor movies. I'm thinking, okay, that sounds like fun. A, charge admission. B, watch out for the ripped. All right. Don't do that.
Also,
be careful.
Can I just put this out here? And this is not an anti-Christmas sentiment.
Oh.
It is a everything in its time sentiment.
Hmm.
The Christmas decorations.
Uh-oh.
And the Christmas theme sales and all of that stuff should not be occurring now. Certainly should not have been occurring before Halloween. That stuff, I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. And the day after Thanksgiving is over, sign me up. I'm all about the Christmas carols. I'm all about the Christmas movies. I'm all about the eggnog. Let's get it revved up. But not until Black Friday should Christmas stuff be openly talked about.
Talked about or displayed?
Either.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're asking what I want for Christmas. There's an exception to the rule, obviously. But and this is why. Because Christmas is special.
Yes.
Thanksgiving is special.
Should be.
Halloween is special.
Mm-hmm.
4th of July, all of these holidays, they're special, but part of what makes them special is they come once a year, and it's the lead up to it. And the lead up is like a few weeks for these events. Now, the mileage may vary on how big of a lead up, but I'm okay with a little bigger lead up to Christmas, nearly a month. But you take away from the season, if you make that season too long, it is, you know, maybe a couple of weeks before the Christmas shopping season begins. Maybe 3 weeks before Christmas shopping begins. Of course, everybody knows the traditional start date for Christmas shopping, December 23rd.
Oh, yes.
And
thanks for the reminder.
Yes, you want to make sure you get that on the calendar. Very important. You don't want to wait till the last second and be one of those people that is needing to shop for everything on Christmas Eve day. You want to get a head start on it and at least get some of your items taken care of on the 23rd.
That's right, yes.
So just, again, I love Christmas, love everything about it. It is not time here today for Christmas. It is not Christmas season. Not yet.
Okay.
This public service announcement provided by your old pal Ironhead.
Good luck.
You're welcome.
Good luck with that.
You are welcome.
See, I'm living in fear now, all right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we were away all last week. My wife likes decorating. She's really good at it. And so I don't even want to think about the Christmas decorations. Oh, my gosh. But she has Halloween / fall decorations.
Yes.
So
that is appropriate.
A lot of the house
lovely.
A lot of the house right now has Halloween / fall decorations.
Wonderful.
We didn't get home till last night. I'm afraid when I get home today, she's going to say, "Well, time to get rid of the Halloween stuff." I'm
Put out the Thanksgiving stuff. And she's absolutely
it's already out.
Thanksgiving stuff stays out until the end of the month, and then we shift into the Christmas.
Oh, my knees hurt just thinking about it. All right. Oh, because it's up in the attic. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Anyway. All right. We're going to take a break here. Again, folks, we got open line time. Lots to talk about. Yep. Penn State football, if you want to go down that road.
I do have my reason for Penn State pride, at least with,
with
one individual player.
I think I know what you're talking about,
so there we go. I think you do too. But
tomorrow, of course, is Election Day. All right, that's very important. This is not an off year. No, go vote. We'll talk about that. Food stamp or SNAP benefits are supposed to restart this week. And I, you know, I was on vacation last week, but I was checking news because that's, you know, I'm a media guy. It's what I do. I check news, you know, current events and all that sort of stuff. Some thoughts on food stamps and this whole SNAP situation. Just, we'll save that thought. All right. And you can chime in if you want. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. No, no, no. We will come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy College.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Yes, Mr. Geezy is back, taking the time to come on in and actually put in a good day's work.
Nothing else
we
to do.
We appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Thank you. You're quite welcome. A
couple of other, just quick sports note from over the weekend. Former Bengals tight end and just one of those voices that I grew up watching, Bob Trumpy, passed away at the age of 80 over the weekend. He was just a fun listen. Brought a lot of enthusiasm to the broadcast on NBC for a number of years, and was a very good tight end back in the day for the Cincinnati Bengals. So Bob Trumpy passing away at the age of 80. And Penn State Wrestling, again, will get underway with its season against Oklahoma at the Jordan Center a week from Friday on November 14th. But the college wrestling season got underway over the weekend. They had the NWCA All-Star Meet, and then there were several individual dual meets. Just a couple of notes along those fronts. former Penn State wrestler Zach Ryder, who is a redshirt freshman at Oklahoma State now at 184 pounds, he looked exceptionally good in the All-Star meet. At 184 pounds, Ryder defeated Jackson Smith of Maryland 14-4. Going into that, Smith was ranked higher than Ryder. That is going to change when the new Intermat rankings come out, but he looked really good if you had a chance to watch that. And David Evans, former Nittany Lion wrestler who is now at Utah Valley, helped Utah Valley get a big early season win over Stanford, 19-12. Evans won his bout over Aiden Valencia of the Cardinal 13-8 at 149 pounds. And Pitt also beat Navy. Not a well-attended match, but Pitt beat Navy 20-12. On Saturday as well. Now, Penn State football, if you were watching the game, again, it was a tough watch. I just think Ohio State's passing game is exceptional. And I saw a lot of people immediately after the game, yep, Brian Hartline, we got to get him in here as our next head coach, and I understand it. But you see, one of the things you'll notice is coaches coach a lot better when they have guys like Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith making plays for their offense. I'm not saying coaching makes no difference, but it really is the Jimmys and Joes much more than the X's and O's. All of these guys, there's only so many plays. Now, I get it, timing, and I'm not saying there's nothing to the coaching and the development and all of that. It's important. But what you need are the exceptionally good athletes if you're planning to try to go win a national title. And what Ohio State has is an abundance of elite athletes. It is amazing to watch that offense, offensive line, wide receivers, quarterback, the whole operation. I think Penn State, and save the laughter, I actually think they did a reasonably decent job. That is a really good Ohio State offense. There are not many teams that are going to hold that team under, I don't know if there's anybody in the country that's going to hold that Ohio State team under 30 points. The rest of the way that this season. Not with the way Sain is operating and the time they are giving him. When you have elite receivers and a quarterback that has an understanding of the offense the way he does. We are talking about, it's a redshirt freshman, but we are talking about a guy that is on pace to set the all-time NCAA record for completion percentage. And he deserves a lot of credit, and he's getting Heisman hype, and again, it is amazing to be completing over 80%. He also has arguably the best receiver in the country and the second best receiver in the entire country on his roster that he is throwing to. They are certainly, I don't think there's any question Jeremiah Smith is number one. It is just an amazing operation. Now, the bad news for Penn State, they have Indiana coming in. Indiana's offense is every bit as efficient as Ohio State's. And they are, Mendoza doesn't have the completion percentage that Sain does, but you talk about a guy that knows exactly what he wants to do and understands that offense. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed for Saturday, but I think this thing is going to get ugly quickly. I really do. I think this is a Penn State team that has just been kind of beaten into the ground now, and this is an Indiana team that is feeling itself. They are feeling good as we head to the stretch run. And I just, much like the Ohio State game, I just don't like the matchups. Now, all of that being said, You're looking for a reason to be proud if you're a Penn State fan. Plenty of reasons. But if you have seen, and it's going viral, I think it's getting a good bit of attention now, as it should. But after that game, and it is a brutal loss, five in a row. This is a dejected team, understandably. Fans are, you know, Ohio State fans are giving them the business. Penn State fans are giving them the business. Vega Ioane is one of the top figures on that offensive line, one of the most well-known names on the offensive line, one of the leaders of the team. And he's walking up the tunnel, and to his left, and there's a there's like a gate, a railing between where the players are walking up and then the masses. And the masses are walking up, and among the masses, there's an equipment manager for Penn State, and he is pushing up. It is a big tub, and he is pushing up. It's on wheels, but he's going uphill. It is obviously loaded down with equipment and clothes and whatever, and he's getting it done, but he is straining to get this thing up the hill. Ioane looks over and immediately hops over the fence, the railing, and goes over and helps him push it up the hill. Folks, that is a big deal. That is a big deal because this is not Vega Ioane's job. His job is he's got to be the well-oiled machine out there on the football field. They have other people to take care of this stuff. Vegas sees, I'm a decent human being. I see somebody needs some help. It's somebody I know. I'm going to go over and help. I'm bummed about the loss, but there's other things going on in life, and here's a guy who is committed to helping our team all season long. Yeah, I'm going to go over and help him. To me, emblematic with that gesture of what these guys are. Say what you want about James Franklin. Say what you want about Terry Smith, and I'm seeing some people already. Terry Smith, obviously, isn't really. Really? good God. You people that are ripping Terry Smith, you got to just go away is what you need to do. But that is a really cool moment that Ioane is like, yeah, I can put this thing in perspective and I can go over and help somebody who, again, is helping our program, trying to help us. He's not feeling any better about any of this either. He just goes over, hey, I'm a big, strong guy. I can help push this up, make it a little easier on the equipment manager. To me, really cool and really something you ought to take pride in if you're a Penn State fan, that you have players that are not, at least a player who is not spoiled by all of the NIL, all the gimme, gimme, gimme. No, this is a guy that even in a undoubtedly a very down moment, it's like, I have a chance to help somebody out here. I'm going to do it.
I've seen this clip. All right. I didn't watch the game because I was out having a good time with my family.
That was wise.
On Saturday. Yeah, I was checking the score, and I saw the halftime score. I'm like, hey, all right, that's cool. We're eating at a restaurant, and my son-in-law's there, and he gets the video up on his phone. I'm like, I really don't need to watch this. I'm enjoying myself.
Yep.
And then the numbers, this is second half now. The numbers start going up like, would you turn that off?
Please.
Let's have a good time here,
yes.
All right? Holy smokes. But that clip, what's amazing to me about that clip, all right? How do you pronounce his name?
Ioane.
Ioane, okay. It's a big dude.
Very big.
300 and something pounds. And he goes leaping over this railing.
Yep.
Now, I could see a receiver or a cornerback, like a skinny guy, if you will, doing that. This is a big dude. He goes leaping over this railing like it was nothing. If I had tried to do that, they'd be calling the ambulance, okay? Because I would have right down on the ground, splat.
Yep.
He goes right up and over it, to assist this other person. If I'm a like an NFL combine agent or whatever, I'm looking at that clip thinking, hey, this guy's good. I mean, forget, you know, the blocking. He's good at that, too. But, I mean, look at the athleticism of this guy just to go really leaping over this railing. Because when I saw that, I'm like, whoa. That, I was more impressed by the leap over the railing. All right, yeah, he was helping out the other guy. All right, I get it. But when he leaps over this railing, I'm like, I didn't realize he could do that. Wow, that's really good. That's a clip that he needs to keep. For the, like I said, the NFL scouts and all that sort of thing, like, how many other offensive linemen can do what I just did? It might be a pretty short list. You got to find this clip. It's all over social media. Probably do some web searching. You can find it. It was a good gesture, but also he may have inadvertently helped himself for his future prospects.
Impossible.
Is he a senior? This is it for him? Or
It could be it for him.
Okay.
It could be it.
See, now, but we'll take a break in a moment. I mean, five straight losses. You said you've got your fingers crossed for Saturday. I don't have my fingers crossed. They're going to get killed.
Well.
All right. Indiana's only been threatened in one game, and that was the Iowa game where, frankly, I still think Iowa blew it that night. All right, they at the end of the game, it's like, why did you do that? And then Indiana scores the winning score. They could have lost the Iowa game. They could have lost. All the other games are blowouts. They killed Maryland on Saturday. Yeah, I saw some blurb again, social media being what it is. What, they still had the starting quarterback in the game when the game was long done. And they're still racking up big yards against Maryland, and the wag on social media says, yeah, we're just trying to pad the numbers for Heisman and all this sort of thing. I would hope that's not the case, but I was wondering the same thing. I'm thinking, why is this guy still in the game? Why don't you bring the backup guys? This game's long over. Bring in the backup guys. Again, Cignetti's got that reputation of being a little edgy. You know, it's like a guy that's easy not to like. And now he's coming in here on Saturday afternoon. So my fingers are not crossed. I think they're going to get killed. Penn State, I think they're going to get killed. Then you got the last three games. At Michigan State, at home with Nebraska, who doesn't have Rayola now, their quarterback, because he like a broken leg bone or something like that. And then at Rutgers. I'll be honest, those last three, I'm not terribly confident. Now, Nebraska, maybe, since they lost their starting quarterback. I don't know who their backup guy is. I have no idea. But, I mean, it might, if they could actually go 6-6, Penn State being what it is, will they get invited to a bowl game? Yes. Should they go to a bowl game? Maybe not. Maybe this team, even if that possibility comes up, maybe this team ought to think, maybe we really shouldn't do that. We were ranked number two in the country at one point, and now we're going to go to the Joe's Pizza Toilet Bowl or something like that, some little piddly bowl. Do we really want to do that? Maybe this team, I mean, again, the portal in the first 2 weeks of January, Penn State's a mess. I can't describe it any better than that. Penn State football is a total mess. They're going to lose a bunch of guys. They got a new coach, we assume, coming in, whoever that turns out to be. They're probably going to pound the portal hard, or they're going to try. They're going to pull a Kurt. They need to pull a Kurt Cignetti with Indiana. Yes, I mean they bring him in, and what, you know, he comes in from what, James Madison. What does he do? He pounds the portal hard and made it work. Now, Deion Sanders pounded the portal hard. What was that Colorado score from Saturday?
Oh,
they got crushed.
52-17, I think, yeah.
Cignetti has found a way to make it work. Deion Sanders, frankly, hasn't. All right, just hasn't. Whoever this new Penn State coach is going to be, that's how they're going to have to rebuild, which for this team would be a total departure from the past. Total departure.
Could Penn State go the Indiana route and take Mr. Chesney? That is out there as a possibility. That's the Bob Chesney's the current James Madison coach.
Yeah, James Madison's like the cradle of coaching. apparently all of a sudden. Isn't that interesting? Most, by the way, they're in Virginia, by the way, if you don't know where JMU is from. I don't know, I just find that curious, but hey. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, again, we'll take your calls. Try some newsy stuff, because, again, this is a big newsy week. Election, again, this whole thing about food stamps and SNAP benefits, and I just, they're part of this, how do I put this, rubs me the wrong way. And it's, well, hold that thought, all right? I'll say a thing or two that somebody's not going to like me when we get to that point, all right? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take a break. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use. 814-954-7266.
All right, SNAP or election? Which one should I go with? SNAP or election? You pick.
Let's go election.
Election, okay. All right, very good. Election day tomorrow. Are you ready? Now, please, it's an off-year election. No, stop. Wake up. All right? It's a very important election tomorrow. Yes, these are mostly, if you will, local offices. All right? I get it. But, again, think about it. If you pay school district property taxes, which I assume a lot of people do, or even if you rent, the landlord's paying, you know, real estate taxes and stuff, those school board elections are pretty important. All right, and there are a bunch of people running, depending on where you live and all that sort of stuff. Borough council, township supervisor, a mayor, other various things. In some way, those folks all cost you money. Well, who do you want to be in those positions? Well, that's why we have elections. So go vote. Don't.
Oh, I don't feel like it tomorrow. Nobody cares about it.
No, go vote. All right. Or now, if you did the mail-in thing, all right, you're done, I suppose, most of you. The rest of us, like us, we will actually go to a polling place tomorrow. I like going to a polling place. All right, I do. It's not that big of a deal. And that, oh, it's so hard to go to a... We've been doing it that way for 200 and whatever years. It's not hard. Just go. Can't blame the weather. Weather, I think, tomorrow looks great. Okay? Now, I'm away for a week. I get home. We had some friends of ours house sit for us. And so, of course, they brought in the mail every day.
I need to do some more research because I'm seeing the yard signs and I just don't know enough about this Mr. Yes person. But this voting yes, or no. I need to know more about Mr. Yes or is it a Mrs. Yes? I don't even know. Oh my. I don't even know the gender of yes. So I have just decided in our yard, now, mind you, we'd be going against the HOA, which God knows the trouble we're going to get into for that.
Oh, no.
But I am just, I have decided to just confuse the hell out of everybody and vote maybe on Tuesday, everybody.
Vote what?
I'm writing in maybe.
Okay, hold on. I don't think you can write in.
I don't like the current candidates we have, so I am writing in Mr. Maybe.
Maybe.
Let's go, maybe!
I don't think that's a right.
The babies all love maybe.
I think it's either yes or...
Everything's got a...
It's either Mr. Yes or Mr. No.
Nope, I'm voting maybe.
Or Dr. No. What was that?
You can't tell me how to vote,
James,
pal.
James Bond, Dr. No. Okay, you could vote for Dr. No. Yeah, I get home and here's...
I'm voting. I need more time to think about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm writing in. I need more time to think about it.
Okay. I get another one of these postcards.
Yeah.
I bet when I go home today eventually and check the mail, I bet I get another postcard. And it's all from this one group who apparently has lots and lots of money.
Uh-huh.
Just sending out postcards and so on. Okay. This is about the judge's election.
I do love the signs that just have, they have no other information on them than just vote yes or vote no.
No.
So,
yeah.
Well, could there be a more ineffective sign in the history of mankind than you're not on what? I mean, I know what, but like, if you're not paying, vote yes. All right. Yes! Vote no. I don't know what I'm voting for. Vote yes!
What's hilarious is when there's a yes and a no sign right next to each other. It's like, wait a minute.
That's why I'm voting maybe, baby.
Vote both ways, yes and no. Now, there's, again, these three judges. They're all Democrats on the state Supreme Court. And these are Republicans. This one particular PAC, Political Action Committee, has been pouring millions of dollars into vote no, 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 all this stuff. And the idea is these three are currently on the Supreme Court. And what happens is they get a 10-year term, and every 10 years, the election is for them is a retention. It's should they be able to continue with another 10-year term?
Yeah,
yes,
maybe.
Yes or maybe. Well, there's no maybe. It's either yes or no. And normally, it's kind of a rubber stamp. I mean, this has been done for years, all right? Very rarely does somebody get no'd. All right, not maybe. No'd. It's extremely, because almost always it's sure, go ahead, yes. All of a sudden you have three Democrats out of the blah, 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 eight Supreme Court justices that happen to be up for retention all at the same time. And so some pack, all right, political animals, early this year, whenever it was, got the bright idea, hey, if we could find a way to kick those three off, right now in the state Supreme Court, let's see if I got my numbers right, it's five Democrats and three Republicans. I think I have that right. Five and three. Now, if they get no'd tomorrow, if I'm correct, do they immediately get booted? Or I think maybe they would rule into December. And then all of a sudden, well, they're out. And so there would have to be, at some point in the future, another election for a new person. But it would take the majority away from the Democrats on the state Supreme Court. At least, I guess, temporarily. Well, that's what these folks want. So if you haven't been following this yes and no stuff, that's the reason. And what, you know, what Republican political animals want you to go out and do, they want you to vote no tomorrow. What the Democrat political animals want you to do, they want you to vote yes tomorrow. All right, and lots of woke, you know, the, oh, that's a popular term. Oh, they're woke. Abortion rights, oh, no, gets tossed out in the other direction and so on and so forth. So there's your yes and your no. Now, could it be that of the three, two of them get no'd somehow? I don't know. That seems strange, but it could be because if you go vote tomorrow, you're going to vote three separate times, one, two, three. Could you do no, no, yes? Yeah, you could. Yes, yes, no. Yeah, you could. All right? It's not like
yes, no, yes.
Or yes, no, yes.
Or no, yes, no.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
No, no, yes.
You're getting the idea here. It's a little crazy. These three are not running together. They're separate. Boom, boom, and boom. So, and again, as we've mentioned before, this is all about who gets out the vote tomorrow. Along with the mail-ins, of course. Who gets out the vote tomorrow? If a lot of Republicans out, you know, get the vote out tomorrow, there's a good chance these three will be no, no, no. If the Democrats get the vote out tomorrow, it could be yes, yes, yes. No maybes. Sorry.
I think at the end of the day, with tomorrow's vote, and I think you can pretty much take this to the bank.
Yeah, what?
Ohio State will be number one. the first college football playoff rankings come out tomorrow.
And Indiana should be number two.
That is true,
right?
Too.
Okay, there you go. So, again, folks, these elections tomorrow are important. Don't know, I don't feel like it. No, go. All right, just go. Again, school board, no, don't sleep. Those are the folks that could raise your real estate taxes next year, if that is important to you. So then go vote. All right? Get this done. Now, there are some other places, high-profile elections. Governor in New Jersey is going to be voted tomorrow. Governor of Virginia is going to be voted tomorrow. And, of course, the mayor of New York City. Holy mackerel, has this race gotten publicity.
I haven't heard anything about it. Is there something happening there in New York City?
You think?
Huh.
I mean, it's... See, I'm not a big city person. I've been to New York City a number of times. I would never want to live there. No, no, for a bunch of reasons. Yeah, I'm not a Yankees fan. No, no, no. Okay, there, vote. No, no, no. Could a avowed, no doubt about it, Democrat socialist be the next mayor of New York City? And if you've followed any news coverage at all.
I'm voting against him. I'll tell you that right now. There's no way I'm voting for Mamdani tomorrow.
Well, if you were from New York, you could. You're not from New York.
So I'm not voting for him.
Okay.
Sorry, Scott.
Well, then you're
not happening.
Legally, that's good.
I will not do it.
I mean, just there are so many stories floating around right now. I've got one here that claims from some pollster. Now, be careful of pollsters. Yeah, we've been burned in the past.
No, I think they're always right.
This guy, oh, yeah.
Huh?
This guy, Zohran Mamdani, could get 1 million votes tomorrow. Now, apparently, according to one story, this is about the mayor of New York, all right? A mayoral candidate in New York hasn't gotten 1 million votes since 1969. Now, first off, that'll tell you
something. Interestingly, neither has a state college area school board member.
How about
that? In fact, that's never happened.
Well, 1 million? Yeah.
They've never gotten it.
Unless somebody votes 10 times or something like, oh, let's not start down that road. Stop, stop, stop. First off, I mean, when I saw that story, my first thought is, okay, people in New York obviously aren't voting. They're, I mean, come on. You're telling me New York City and the boroughs and whatever, they've got well more than 1 million people in New York, all right? and a mayoral candidate hasn't gotten a million votes in over 50 years, that tells me people aren't voting. Now, this will be real curious tomorrow to see if people in New York come out to vote. I would think so. With all the publicity of this one, you would think they would. If you're a Democrat, is this guy, because he's supposed to win, is this guy the future of the Democrat Party? Is this where the Democrat Party is going? Total socialism. Feel the burn. Bernie Sanders, AOC, that crowd. And if you're a Democrat and you're listening, is that what you want? Now, you can't vote for the mayor of New York, but there are some other elections, you know, like next year coming up that are kind of important. I've got another story here from some, well, it says here, this is from a group called Democracy Matters, which is a nonprofit group, which it says is Democrat aligned. So in other words, it leans left. And they say that 6 in 10 working class voters view the Democrat Party negatively. Negatively.
Whew, that's almost half of them.
That's over half of them.
What?
Oh, my gosh. Again, this is according to the story. These people that don't like the current Democrat Party leadership, they say they are woke, weak, and out of touch. All right. Now,
other than that, we like them a lot.
Well, that depends. Is it Zohran Mamdani, who is the Democrat candidate for this New York mayor's race? Chuck Schumer doesn't seem to be lighting them up anymore. And some of the other folks in Congress just aren't cutting it anymore. I really do wonder about our future. I'm not a socialist. And Scott here, I am not a socialist. Not even close. All right? Free stuff, free stuff. There's no such thing as free. Somebody's paying for it, and it's not just billionaires. So there's a lot of things on the ballot tomorrow. Maybe not here. Well, yeah, there's a lot here, too. New York, just being New York, sucks up a lot of the attention.
Yeah.
This will be real interesting to see where this future is going.
All right.
So vote.
Taking a break here. Vote Bastardi. Weatherbell.com. Mr. Bastardi joins us next.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
It's Let's Talk, one final segment on this Monday, and we reserve that segment for none other than Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi.
Good morning, El Jefe. Is Scott there?
He is back from his vacation.
He had a great week.
Scott, could you turn around your chair real quick?
Can I what?
Turn around.
Just turn around your chair.
Okay. Just real quick.
Just face the opposite way. Hey, it's good to see you're back. Anyway,
well done, well done.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You'll be here till Tuesday. All right, all right.
Hey, listen. A week from today, we're likely to have seen our first, at least in the air, snow of the season.
Uh-oh.
And a big 2 to 3 day cold shot is coming through early next week. Now we've been running below normal for the last week to 10 days. Month of October turned out a little bit above normal temperatures. In analyzing that, though, that's all nighttime lows. It doesn't get as cold anymore on the Penn State campus at night because the thermometer is surrounded by buildings. And traditionally, the coldest nights in the fall are nights when there's no wind. So what happens is in the old days when I was at Penn State, the thermometer at the Walker Building was exposed to the old golf course. And, there wasn't the Ponte Vecchio, goes over 322 and all the parking lots and all this and all the building they've done. So what would happen is that right around sunrise, when the sun comes up, the air, if it's calm, gets mixed. The first thing that happens when the sun comes up is when you go from no incoming radiation to some radiation, there's an instant response to the temperature. So the cold air would try to come in off the golf course. And you'd see the low temperatures occur just after sunrise on campus. Now you can't get that anymore. So if you look at, for instance, sites outside of town, like my house has been down in the 20s several times already, which is quite a bit below, 8-10 degrees below normal. But looking at the university, it doesn't get down that much. So it's the nighttime lows, and that's part of the urban heat island effect. And like it or not, State College is no longer it's like College Station. I go to college down to College Station, watch an Aggie game. It's not the cow town it used to be. I mean, I remember when I first came to Penn State. My mother was amazed because we were driving toward, it's now Kelly's Steakhouse, but it used to be the Bowlesburg Steakhouse, and we had to stop because there were cows crossing the road. I mean, you don't see that kind of thing anymore. So the point is that October averaged out pretty close to normal. Daytime highs were a little bit cooler than normal. Nighttime lows above normal. And precipitation, because of two or three pretty good rain events, wound up a little bit above normal. I always look at October because one of the times I got burned worse on a seasonal forecast was October, the winter 2001-2002. I tell this story all the time. I was up at Old Fort, and I love talking to the Amish. I love talking to Amish people. They're so down to earth. So I was in there, and there's this farmer in there, and I says, hey, you getting ready for winter? And he goes, well, not going to be much of a winter this year. I go, what are you talking about? Because I was predicting a cold winter, right? And I'm like, don't you know who I am? I said, well, why is that? And he says, well, because my Dutch draft horses, he had Dutch draft horses. He said, they don't have any hair. And I said, oh, well, what does that have to do with it? He says, well, when they don't have any hair in October, usually means the winter's warm. And I never could figure that out. And then I started researching state college winters. And a lot of times when October is just warm and dry and lots of sunshine all the time, the following winter is, warm. And I said, I'll be darned. Anyway, about 3 or 4 years later, I was in McDonald's. And I guess there was an Amish lady in there. And you say, well, the Amish don't go to McDonald's. I guess she was visiting her sister. And Garrett and Jesse were playing with the three kids. And I said, I went over there and I go, hi, Jakey, to the oldest one. He goes, how'd you know my name was Jacob? And I said, well, I said, I know, because a lot of time Amish people will name their firstborn boy Jacob, because Jacob wrestled the angel, you know, so I don't know exactly the lore behind that, but they'll, a lot of firstborns named Jacob in the Amish community. And there's probably not going to be Amish calling in, because they're probably not listening to me this morning to challenge me on that, so I could get away with it.
Yeah,
but in any case,
that's true.
The mother comes over, and she obviously, you know, here's this strange guy, and he comes up, he's talking to his kids. He goes, why are you talking to my kids? I go, well, they're playing my kids, and I just was over here. And she goes, And so I did, as the scientist I am and the believer in that nature has a message, I naturally popped the question to her. Hey, what do your Dutch draft horses look like? what do your horses look like? And she goes, we don't have horses. We have mules. I mean, she was talking. She sounded like Lilith on the old,
Cheers.
You know, Cheers, yeah, you know, Lilith, right? And I was like, I was instantly intimidated. So I said, oh, well, no, because I explained the story to her. She goes, what is your occupation? And I says, I'm a weather forecaster. And she goes, that's interesting. And then just walked away. And I said, get away from me, spawn of Satan, because the Amish are very big believers in that, you can't really plan for the future. They live what they believe. So probably forecasting the weather was, witchcraft to her. So, but she had mules. I don't know if it works with mules. Now, I did ask Clay Steadman about the deer. And Clay Steadman is director of NIL for I guess the wrestling team, and he said his deer had a lot of fat on him, and last year the deer had a lot of fat on him. And that's another thing that I've learned. Several years ago, when Mark Hall was being recruited, they had the bright idea of, hey, let's do something different with recruiting. Let's take the kids out to a good old-fashioned Amish family meal. So I found out about this, that they were going to go down and have down Bellevue, there's a place you could go. And I said, well, make sure you ask them. Ask them what their horses look like, right? And they came back with a report that they don't look at horses, they look at deer. If deer have a lot of fat, it means a cold winter. Now, last year, that worked real good. The deer had a lot of fat, so I heard that the deer have a lot of fat this year. And it's interesting, because we are thinking that this winter is going to have a lot of cold with it. And the first real sustained period is Thanksgiving to Christmas. And, while everybody was gawking at Melissa, and rightfully so, that development of that storm in that area in October like that has been linked to the period from Thanksgiving to Christmas being cold. Now, I want to explain why that is likely the case. And I have not done due diligence on the research on it, but I've gone back through different years where there was what we call late hurricane seasons, that after the midpoint of the season, the season is more active at the end than at the beginning. has to do with something called the Majorian Oscillation. And when that oscillation is in a certain phase during the hurricane season, it promotes hurricane development in the western Atlantic basin. Okay? That same kind of phase of the Majorian Oscillation, you take that and move it into winter, early winter especially, what happens is that you're not going to get hurricane development, but you're going to get the kind of pattern that encourages cold air masses to come into the United States. Now, think about this, okay? Why would that be the case? Well, the development of a major hurricane in the Southwest Atlantic Basin is usually a sign that the atmosphere is amplified. In that particular case, you have a lot of, you know, have the ideal situation of amplification ridging aloft over that area of the world. And you notice that when Melissa developed, it got cold over the eastern part of the United States. So if we get the same kind of rotation, it looks like it's trying to do that, then we should see the period Thanksgiving to Christmas being above normal. Sure enough, the European ensembles, the weekly ensembles, by December 17th have 8 inches of snow here, a cumulative total, which would put us ahead of schedule through mid-December. And they're forecasted above normal snowfall in the period Thanksgiving to Christmas right now. So as you saw that happen last year, remember how cold it was at the SMU game and we had some snow. Now, speaking of snow, it's been unbelievable. We have not had an above normal snowfall year here since the winter of 14-15, and that was barely above normal. The normal snowfall in State College is 42.3 inches. We've been averaging 50% of that over the last 5 years. And two of the last 5 years, I believe, were in the bottom 10 out of 130, samples. So the moral of the story is that it looks like we're going to get off to a pretty fast start, and there's a lot of things on the table here. Now, when I say fast start, I'm not talking about early next week. What happens early next week, we'll come in and probably leave, and we'll be all right till around Thanksgiving. And then you go to Thanksgiving into mid and late December. It's a good test of that theory. If you read the weatherbell.com winter forecast, which we put out August 29th, and it's on our site and it's not behind the paywall, there was a bullet point. Now, even on August 29th, because I was anticipating the hurricane season to go the way it did, be back weighted, there was a bullet point that said, colder than normal period, Thanksgiving to Christmas, is on the table. So we were already looking at this back in August. And, you know, the great thing about the weather today is that there's so much information and there's so many smart people. My goodness, I see guys on Twitter that are just so far ahead of where I was at that age. It's amazing how smart they are. And I'm one of these guys that, well, I don't care if you have a degree or degree in meteorology or not. If you're bringing up things that you've observed due to your love and passion, I'm going to look at it because I understand what that's like. So it'll be an interesting test to see what happens between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's always been my favorite time of the year because I like that run-up to Christmas, you know, that part of the year. And I also like this time of the year where we turn the clocks back, because it gives me advantage in that everything is literally due an hour later. In other words, 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. So the models come in quicker, so I get to look at them a little bit quicker. You know, last night was horrible. I mean, I'm getting into this situation, folks, where my clock is literally timed to wake up when all the different models come in. It's phenomenal. How much God has blessed me. And okay, it's 1:30. Get up and look at this for 10 minutes, then go back to sleep. But in any case, pretty good week coming up this week. We're going to have some rain Friday night into Saturday morning. I think it stops for the game. We're going to have there's some showers coming in the next couple, I think on Thursday, Saturday, and then Sunday night into Monday, and actually Sunday, there's another batch that comes in. That will be the cold front that comes through. And behind that, next week at this time, if it hasn't at least snow flurried yet, and maybe even enough to cover the ground. We could get some pretty good squalls in here early next week. I think you'll see the first snow of the season next week.
Wow. Okay. Mr. Ironhead doesn't like this.
I don't. But on that note, Mr. Bastardi, what should we do with the weather?
Well, before we do that.
You got 10 seconds.
What do you mean you don't like it? It means it's wrestling season. Enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
That is true. I will enjoy the wrestling season. That is the bright spot there. Folks, have a great Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.